As we welcome Charlene today, I want to offer a prayer of blessing. And also to say, many of you all know Charlene from work as our conference minister, part of the conference minister team. She also works extensively as a hospital chaplain. And so we're honored to have her come as we lament and as we share words of grief together as a congregation and figure out how to lament well. It's a gift to have her here on this particular day, given her experiences in that field of work. So, Charlene, we want to say a quick word of prayer of blessing. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of your church, for the many parts of your body that help us learn to grieve well, to laugh well, and to share life well with one another. We ask that your spirit be with Charlene, with her words, and be with our ears and with all of our hearts. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome.
Good morning. Can you hear?
Pull it down.
Okay. All right. What a wonderful and wondrous and puzzling experience of life's twists we experience preaching to cars in a parking lot with people in them, of course. It's just proof that life is one series of firsts. So I greet you on this beautiful morning, and in the name of God, our Creator, and on behalf of Mountain States Conference, it truly is good to be together, even if we are remotely here or physically in the vicinity. We are honoring ourselves and one another by keeping that safer distance and being creative in how we do it. I offer this prayer. God of courage, be in our listening, be in our speaking, and open our souls to deeper understanding. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. We are in a movement. There was pre-COVID, and then there was the abrupt adjustment of what it means to learn about and live with COVID. And now we are in a movement, a very tentative reopening in ways that represent what we have called normal in the past, at least to some degree. One step in this movement is recognizing the grief that we continue to experience. Another movement is to embrace hope, even in the midst of and in spite of loss that has occurred and continues to occur. There is at least one more step in this movement: joy. Joy, though, cannot be fully experienced without the grief and connection with hope. It's like trying to celebrate Easter without Good Friday or Holy Saturday. Easter can't happen without the other two. We have been and continue to grieve what it means to live in COVID reality. As you listen to the words of Psalm 34, you may have caught some strands of hope woven through the rhythm of prose in that psalm. And I ask you to hold particularly the verse that is also printed on the front of your bulletin, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 39 is praise from a cave. David is on the run again. On the run from Saul again. David sought refuge in the Philistine city of Gath narrowly escaping a rather hostile reception there. When he was let go, he continued his run to the cave of Adullamon, where he is joined by many other desperate men. David uses that opportunity to share with these men lessons he has learned about who God is based on his own life experience and learning to trust in God. In true Jewish style, David framed his reflections to those men by using the Hebrew alphabet for ease of memorization, and then he put his learning into a cadence that lends itself to be chanted or sung as a part of worship. This psalm, as is true with many psalms, has likely been part of Jewish rituals and worship for millennia. So what does this psalm offer us today in our COVID reality and our society facing challenges of long-seated conflict? The first movement we see that David identifies is blessing and praising God, but doing it with humility and recognizing God's wisdom is beyond David's own cleverness. The second movement is David's own deliverance that he shares and invites others to join him as he recognizes how God delivered him from his personal fears and did so without shame. A third movement, David identifies awareness of God's presence surrounding him through an angelic host. A fourth movement, expressing delight in the genuine goodness of God even in the midst of his own life circumstances. And the fifth movement, reminding others of how God watches over those who seek to be upright, who helps the humble, and that trust in God will not be met with judgment. This psalm embeds the message of God being near to the brokenhearted and how those who are crushed in spirit can be saved. It is striking to note how the contents of this psalm offer structural support to those who are experiencing grief from loss. Each of us here listening remotely, all of us know some form of loss, whether that is a more recent event or from long past. Losses can be categorized in two broad general categories, necessary and unnecessary. An example of a necessary loss is you lose your baby teeth in order for permanent teeth to grow. A possible unnecessary loss is the death of someone in a car accident. Grief affects the whole of our being, how we function cognitively, emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually. What we do with the grief resulting from our loss is the journey of mourning. Mourning is an outward expression of our inward reality of loss. Mourning is how we integrate the meaning of our loss into the fabric of our changed being and reality. And that integration touches every aspect of our being. In Psalm 34, David expresses how he thinks about God in the midst of his life experience. Feelings of humility, gladness, awe, remorse, gratitude are expressed. He references taste and sight as ways of expressing trust in God. David expresses how we are loving, seeking, looking into the essence of how and who God is with us. In this psalm, David models to a group of desperate men how he, David, is mourning, how he is integrating recognition of God's abiding presence and deliverance from distress and stress in his own life. In Samuel, 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22, we have the narrative that's the backdrop behind Psalm 34. The desperate men gathered in that cave with David were his own brothers and all of his father's house, those in distress or in debt or discontented. David offered to these men how he integrates his trust in God to see him through his own desperate situation. Weaving our grief into healthy mourning includes an ability to name what it is that we are experiencing. The feelings, the physical ache, the thoughts that don't make sense or are new to us. Spiritual openings and vulnerability that stretch our experience of God. Healthy meaning making in the course of mourning involves integration of conversation around and an embodiment of these various ways we process grief that we experience after a loss. Allowing that physical ache in our chest to connect with our anger or our bewilderment, for that to be linked with the different thoughts about our personal mortality, to associate all of this with how God is revealed in unexpected ways within our experience. Telling and retelling the story of loss, of the impact of a loss, can offer the space to deepen recognition of how God is present with us, how we can be delivered from the angst of our own situations. One gift from Jewish practices is a model of how to incorporate the complexity of the whole of an experience and place it within a ritual that can remind us of movement yet to come in our journey. It can be argued that Shavuot, the festival of the booths, is the most important Jewish holiday, celebrating harvest and offering thanksgiving for the giving and the receiving of the Torah. It is an 8-day festival, with each day focusing on an aspect of worship related to this celebration. On the seventh day, a focus is offered on despair using Psalm 88. This psalm, Psalm 88, does not follow the common psalm pattern of praise, asking for help, recognizing God as a helper, and offering thanks. No, Psalm 88 does not take the reader or singer or ritualist out of the deep despondency. However, Psalm 88 is not where Shavuot ends. The eighth and final day is a movement into a place of joy, a celebration of trust in God. As Jews celebrate Shavuot each year, they enact the movement, remembering their ancestors' movement through the wilderness for 40 years, how God was present with them through this time of uncertainty, despair, and frustration, and moves them into a place of joy and reminding them to trust in God. That rhythm of practicing, singing, movement of dance, worshiping their way through even despair can become a cellular event, reminding them and us that we too can move through grief and loss in our lives and come out with our trust in God intact. Having grown up on a farm, I am familiar with the reality of an easy celebration of thanks when there is a bountiful harvest. I'm also familiar with the challenge of thanksgiving and trust when drought or hailstorms eliminated or significantly limited harvest. In that agrarian context, there was always one Sunday, sometime in October or November, when we sang in immediate sequence the hymns that you can find on page 91 and 92 of the Blue Hymnal, Praise to God, Immortal Praise. Lord, should rising whirlwinds tear, today there's a deep desire to sing those two songs in immediate sequence sometime during fall. My very cells know the truth of God's presence and care through both abundance and need. One of the privileges I have as a chaplain is to co-lead and facilitate grief groups. A participant of one of these groups was the mother of a daughter in her late 20s who died from a very rare form of cancer. A primary feeling this mother was experiencing was deep anger. And while she could name her anger, in the 6 weeks of the group sessions, she had not been able to turn her grief into healthy mourning by integrating a healthy expression of anger into her life. But a seed had somehow been planted in those 6 weeks. More than 15 months later, I responded to a call to come back to the office from the floor to see someone. It was this mother, who literally looked 10 years younger than the last time I had seen her. And she handed me a loaf of bread. In the 15 months since seeing her, she fell upon making bread from scratch, gradually realizing the kneading part of the process was serving at least two significant purposes: an acceptable way to release the physiological aspect of anger and resulting in amazing and delicious bread. Slowly, she connected how bread making was shaping her mourning process. And she took another step. She found a research organization working on improving treatment for the very cancer that resulted in her daughter's death. This woman's bread baking became a signature part of fundraising efforts for this organization's research. As this woman and I talked, it was clear that she was integrating the deep loss she had experienced into the fabric of her being in a way that allowed her to continue the dance with all the ways one is impacted by such a loss, including movement with hope. In this time of COVID and social unrest, may we find ourselves experiencing life like the desperate men in that cave. We are in need of hearing how God has been present with one another and to ground ourselves in trusting in God's nearness and care for all our concerns and all our questions. The famous writer, Anonymous, offers this reflection on hope. We trust that beyond the absence, there is presence. That beyond the pain, there can be healing. That beyond the brokenness, there can be wholeness. That beyond the hurting, there can be forgiveness. That beyond the silence, there may be a word. That beyond the word, there may be understanding. That through all understanding, there is love. We can trust our God who lives hope into our grief and loss. Let us join the psalmist's song of praise and trust. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Amen.